And that explanation, whatever that was the truth.
Och den förklaringen, vad den än måtte vara, det var själva sanningen.
So for the first time in my life, it hit me that I realized there had to be this truth with the capital T.
Så för första gången i livet mitt så slog det mig, det måste vara en sanning med stor S.
Välkommen till det andra programmet i serien där Clifford Goldstein berättar om hur han som en intellektuell och sekulär ung man började att tro på att det finns faktiskt en gud. Det som vi har fått höra till nå är hur hans dröm om att bli författare förde han till att uppehålla sig i flera europeiska land i en räcke år. Han läste Spinoza och fick ett innerligt önske om att finna sannhet om något slik där i det hela tatt kunde finnas. Följ med nå här i del 2 för att se hur det går mens han uppehåller sig i Europa.
Well anyway, I'm on the kibbutz a little while.
Men jag är på kibbutzen en stund.
Then who should show up?
Men, och vem skulle visa sig och komma dit?
But like these 15 religious Protestants from America.
And dessa 15 religiösa protestanter från Amerika.
They're these evangelicals, you know, they're very much into Israel in prophecy.
Dessa evangeliska som är väldigt upptagna av Israel och profetia.
You know, they believe all the final events are going to center around Israel in the last days.
Dessa som tror att alla de sista begivenheterna ska finna sted i Israel.
You know, 200 million Chinese are going to come into the Valley of Armageddon.
Så 200 miljoner kineser tror de ska samla sig på Armageddon.
And they're going to kill all the Jews.
Och de ska ta livet av alla judar.
Why the church is raptured in heaven.
Och så ska menigheten och kyrkan ryckas upp till himmel.
But there's going to be 144,000 Jewish virgins who are going to survive.
Och så ska det vara 144,000 judiska jomfruer som ska överleva.
You know, and they're going to be preaching why the church is raptured and on all that stuff.
Som ska förkynna mens menigheten är bortrycket.
I guess I shouldn't laugh. I mean, these people believe it, they take it seriously, and they were over there to witness.
Men dessa tror det och tar det allvarligt.
So they're over there to witness to the Jews.
Så de var där för att vittna för judarna.
I guess those that aren't going to get killed by the Chinese, I guess.
Så se för att de ska bli dödade av kineserna.
But here I was furious. I was very angry over this.
Men jag var väldigt sint på grund av detta.
You know, here I am, and I'm in the only Jewish state since the Bar Kokhba rebellion in AD 135.
Här är den enaste judiska staten efter Bar Kokhba upproret.
And you got all these Christians here now?
Och så har du alla dessa kristna här.
I said, well now, where now the Jews, we're the majority. Let's see how you like it.
Så tänkte jag på dessa judar, nu vill jag se hur de tog detta.
And I started haranguing them and harassing them and giving them all kinds of trouble.
Och jag började att latterliggöra dem och utfordra dem och ge dem alla slags svårigheter.
And it got so out of hand that eventually the Jews on the kibbutz said, if you don't leave these people alone, we're going to kick you off the kibbutz.
Och det kom så ut av kontroll att till slut så grep judarna in och sa, hvis ikke du tar deg sammen, så ska vi sparka deg ut av kibbutzen.
So I just backed off and left them alone.
Så jag trakk meg tilbake och lot dem være i fred.
Because all I wanted to do was work on my novel.
För allt det jag ville göra var att jobba på romanen min.
Well, a number of months go by.
Det gick någon månad.
And somebody else shows up who's part of the Christian group.
Så kom där någon som var med i den kristna gruppen.
Now, if there's anything that in my mind was the lowest thing a person could be.
Och hvis det var i mitt sinn nu, alltså det laveste en person kunde vara.
It was the lowest of the low.
Det var det laveste av det lave.
Because this guy, you know, not only was he a Jew,
for denne fyren,
but he believed in Jesus.
Ikke bare var han jøde, men han trodde på Jesus.
And he was part of the group.
Og han var en del av gruppen.
All right, you know, it's one thing if the Gentiles want to believe in Jesus, but a Jew believing in Jesus.
Det var nog en ting att hedningar trodde på Jesus, men en jude som trodde på Jesus.
You know, he's got the nerve to come over to Israel and with be part of these people.
Och han har varit fredig nog att komma till Israel och vara med i denna gruppen.
Well, I was very angry.
Og jeg var så opphisset.
And I really got into him hard, jumped on him hard.
Og jeg tok han hardt for meg.
But you know, he was different.
Men han var annerledes.
He really was very intelligent.
Han var egentlig veldig intelligent.
And I couldn't understand that.
Og jeg kunne forstå det.
I couldn't understand how any intelligent, educated person could take the Bible seriously.
Jeg kunne ikke forstå hvordan en intelligent, alvorlig person kunne ta Bibelen så alvorlig.
You know, and yet this guy, we would get into these discussions.
Og denne personen, vi diskuterte sammen.
And he'd give me very intelligent answers.
Og han kom med noen veldig intelligente svar.
And I remember even one time going back to my room.
Og jeg husker en gang jeg gikk tilbake til rommet mitt.
After we were talking.
Etter at vi hadde snakket sammen.
And it was like the first time in my life I looked up in the sky.
Og det var første gang i mitt liv jeg så opp mot himmelen.
And I remember thinking, maybe there really is some big mama or some big daddy up there. Maybe.
Jeg husker jeg tenkte, okay, kanskje der en stor mamma eller en stor pappa der oppe.
Well, this guy, he really did have an influence on me.
Og denne personen her, han gjorde virkelig inntrykk på meg.
But for the most part, I just forgot about it. I just went about my business working on my book, because that's all that mattered.
Men i hovedsak så glemte jeg det hele, så jeg holdt på med mitt og skrev på boka mi.
Well, after about 1 year on the kibbutz.
Så etter cirka ett år på kibbutzen.
1 year just immersed in my novel.
Ett år mens jeg hadde jobbet på bokprosjektet mitt.
I decided I'm going to leave Israel and I'm going to come back to Europe.
Så tenkte jeg, nå forlater jeg Israel og reiser tilbake til Europa.
Because part of my novel was taking place in Europe.
Fordi mye av innholdet i boka mi, det fant sted i Europa.
And so I leave Israel and fly to Greece and then I hitchhike.
Så jeg drar fra Israel, kommer til Hellas og hiker videre.
And I hitchhike up to Christenia. I Copenhagen. You know Christenia?
Så jeg hiket til Christiania i København. Dere vet om Christiania.
Is that fortfarande? Is it still there? Christiania?
Existerer det fortsatt?
Yeah, you know what it is. I don't have to explain it.
Dere vet hva det er. Jeg behøver ikke å forklare det.
And, you know, and I was remembering Christenia a certain way.
Og jeg husker Christiania på en spesiell måte.
And yet when I get back there.
Og når jeg kommer tilbake dit.
Ah, that place was horrible.
Oh, for et fryktelig sted.
I mean, I think every drug addict in Europe was there.
Jeg tror at hver eneste narkoman i Europa var der.
You know, people were dying every other day of heroin overdoses.
Og det var jo mennesker som døde annenhver dag av overdose.
You know, and I remembered it a certain way, and I get up there, and it's dirty, and it's depressing.
Så jeg husker det, jeg kom dit, det er skittent, og man blir mismodig.
And I'm there about 2 days.
Oh, jeg var der i 2 dager.
And, you know, and I hear some woman screaming.
Og så hører jeg en kvinne som roper.
And I look over and I see some guy beating this woman up.
Og da ser jeg at det er noen menn som banker denne kvinnen opp.
You know, she's on the ground and he's kicking her and stomping on her.
Hun ligger ned på bakken og de sparker henne.
You know, my first thought is, I don't want to get involved in this.
Og min første tanke, vel, jeg kan ikke blande meg opp i dette.
But I'm walking along and my conscience starts bothering me.
Men jeg går videre, så begynner samvittigheten å plage meg.
And so I kind of walk over.
Så jeg går over dit.
Well, as soon as I walk over, he stops beating on her.
Og så snart jeg kommer bort dit, så slutter han med å banke henne.
And she gets up and she runs away.
Og hun reiser seg opp og løper av gårde.
And I thought, I did my, you know, I did my good deed for the day.
So I think, okay, det var min gode gjerning for den dagen.
And I start to walk away.
Så jeg på vei bort.
Well, the next thing I know.
Det neste jeg klar over da.
This guy turns around when I'm not looking and just punches me right in the mouth.
Det er den mannen, han snur seg rundt og så slår han til meg rett i ansiktet.
I mean, he's some strung out little junkie, okay? He's some heroin addict or something.
Okay, han er narkoman. Han er i ruset tilstand.
So he hits me.
Så han slår meg.
Now, I'm not really very big. I don't weigh a whole lot.
Så jeg jo ikke direkte storvokst.
But when I was in college, I used to box. I was
Men
a boxer.
Da jeg var på college, så trente jeg boxing.
So this guy hits me.
Så han slår til meg.
I mean, I don't even think about it. I just turn around, boom, 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 and just lay him out.
Så jeg tenker egentlig, jeg bare snur meg til oss, og bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. But when he hit me, he knocked my glasses off.
Men når han slo meg, så slo han brillene mine av meg.
And I mean, I have to squint to see five fingers in front of me.
Så jeg måtte myse for å se mine egne fingre.
And I don't want to be looking around in the mud for my glasses while this guy gets up.
Så jeg kunne jo ikke bare lete rundt på bakken etter brillene mine mens han angrep meg.
So I grab him by his head and have him like this, and I'm holding him saying, find my glasses, find my glasses.
So jeg tar han om halsen og trykker han ned, og sier, finn brillene mine.
So I get my glasses, I put my glasses on.
Så jeg får brillene og tar de på meg.
And I say to this guy, look, man, you need marriage counseling or something. You know?
Så jeg ser på han og sier, du trenger ekteskapsrådgivning eller et eller annet.
And then I take him and I throw him on the ground.
Så tar han, og så dytter han ned I bakken.
Now, when I throw him on the ground,
og jeg kaster han ned på bakken,
you know, I have a weak knee and a weak back. And at that instant, I throw him on the ground and they both give out on me.
Så jeg har et dårlig kne og hadde en dårlig hofte. Jeg dytter han ned og jeg får så vondt.
Well, then he gets up.
Men så reiser han seg opp.
And he pulls out a knife and says, I'm going to kill you, man.
Så trekker han en kniv, og så sier han, jeg skal drepe deg.
So I, you know, guy's got a knife, I just run.
Så når jeg ser kniven, så jeg bare løper.
You know, my back and my knee didn't need me running at that
og
moment.
Ryggen og kneet mitt tålte egentlig ikke at jeg skulle løpe.
You know, he's chasing me down the street, and I'm yelling, help, police,
og
help.
Han løper etter meg, og jeg roper til politiet, hjelp, hjelp.
Well, anyway, the whole point of this is the police come, they do come and they take us down to the station.
Och saken är politiet kom och de tog oss ner till stationen.
And an hour later the cop says, well, we have to let him go. According to Danish law, the knife wasn't long enough to make an arrest.
Så efter en tid så säger politiet, vi må nog sätta han fri ifølge dansk lov för kniven var inte lång nog till att vi kunde hålla han I arrest.
Now so the point that I'm trying to make here.
Så det jeg prøver å poengtere nå.
I'm in this dirty, disgusting place to begin with, which was very depressing.
Jeg på dette ekle stedet, for det første.
My knee's hurting me, my back's hurting me.
Jeg har vondt I kneet og vondt I ryggen.
My mouth got purple and swollen from where he punched me in the mouth.
Jeg har en opphovnet munn på grunn av slaget jeg har fått.
You know, the whole time I'm looking over my shoulder for this guy, because they probably gave him his knife back.
Og hele tiden må jeg kikke meg over skuldret for å se hvor det blir av han med kniven.
So things aren't going the best for me, okay?
Så det går ikke sånn helt bra for meg.
Now, one more element.
Men så det en ting til.
When I had been in Europe a previous time,
når jeg hadde vært I Europa tidligere,
I met this guy in Copenhagen under amazing circumstances. I'm not going to get into it now, it's too complicated.
Så hadde jeg møtt en fyr I København under merkelige omstendigheter.
And I go back and I visit this guy in Copenhagen. He's in another part of town, a very wealthy part of town.
Så jeg drar og oppsøker han I en helt annen del av København.
And this guy,
og denne personen
was really deep into the occult and into spiritualism.
Han var veldig opptatt av det okkulte og spiritisme.
You know, I didn't believe in any of that stuff, but this guy and this apartment was so creepy.
Og jeg trodde jo ikke på noe av dette, men denne så her I leiligheten hans, det var ordentlig ekkelt mystisk.
And this guy would get in these drunken stupors for days.
Og han gravde seg ned og var opptatt av dette I dagevis.
And he would sit there on a chair that he would sit in for two or three days, never get up.
Han kunne sitte på en stol I 2-3 dager og aldri reise seg opp.
And he'd have all his occult books and his candles and all that.
Han hadde massevis av okkulte bøker og stearinlys.
And he'd sit there and he'd stomp the ground and he'd moan and he'd wail and he'd scream. I mean, I'd never seen anything like
that. Han kunde sitta där och trampa I golvet och ropa och grynta och...
And I mean, it's, this guy was so pathetic. He's pathetic. He was in such bad shape.
Ja, han var I en så miserabel tillstånd.
I thought this guy needs anything, something to help him.
Att han må ha en eller annan form för hjälp.
And so at one point, me of all people.
Så jag tänkte, mig av alla människor.
I said, man, you need something. I say to him something about Jesus.
Så ett eller annat kunde säga ett eller annat om Jesus.
And I'll never forget this. As soon as I say the name Jesus.
So I think this was not an empty name, Jesus.
You know, he's stomping, and I say the name Jesus.
I saw name Jesus.
As soon as I say the name Jesus, he stops.
So snart I har sagt det, så stoppar han och trampar I golvet.
And then he looks up at me.
Så ser han på mig.
He looks up at me with one eye. Okay, one eye. He looks up at me like that.
Så ser han på mig så varför?
And he says to me.
Och så ser han.
He says, 20 years ago I asked for Jesus. Instead, I got the devil.
För 20 år sedan så bad jag om att få Jesus. Istället för så fick jag djävulen.
Now, I don't know. Jesus, the devil, Buddha, Moses, none of that makes... I don't mean anything to me.
Jag brydde mig inte om varken Jesus, djävul, Buddha. Ingenting av det brydde jag mig om.
But when he said that to me, it was so creepy.
Men när han sa det till mig så gjorde det sånt ett intryck.
I just fled. I just got out of there.
Att jag måste komma mig ut.
And at that point I was just, it was like this depression took me from this guy's apartment.
Och det var liksom som om jag I ren panik måste flykta från lägenheten hans.
And I was getting so depressed up there in Copenhagen.
Och jag var så missmodig och deprimerad I Köpenhamn.
And I said, I've got to get out of here.
Så jag måste komma mig iväg härifrån.
And so I left Copenhagen and I went to Paris.
Så jag förlot Köpenhamn och drog till Paris.
And I get to Paris.
Kom till Paris.
And everything is worse.
Och allt var värre.
Because I don't know anybody there.
För jag kände ingen där.
I'm in this city, I'm running out of money.
Jag är I Paris.
You know, my back hurt me, my knee hurt me.
Ont I ryggen, ont I knäet.
I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do.
Visste inte hur jag skulle dra, vad jag skulle göra.
I had some personal things I was struggling with, as we all do.
Och hade lite sån personliga ting som jag strävde med, som vi alla gör.
And I remember, I just reached the lowest point I had ever reached in my life.
Och jag kom på det laveste punkt jag någon gång hade varit I mitt liv.
And it was the only time in my life, because generally I'm not that way.
Och det var enaste gång I livet mitt. Vanligtvis är jag inte sån.
It's the only time in my life, though, when I'm in a situation.
Det enaste gång I livet är I en sån situation.
Okay, I say, okay, here you are.
Okay, här är vi.
You can do A.
Du kan göra enten.
You can do B.
Eller B. A eller B.
Or you can kill yourself.
Eller du kan ta livet ditt.
That was the only time I really ever thought about suicide.
Det var enaste gång jag någon gång har tänkt på att ta mitt eget liv.
And I remember even seeing the Eiffel Tower.
Jag husker att jag så upp på Eiffeltornet.
And I remember the thought entered my mind to just jump off the Eiffel Tower.
Jag husker tanken slog mig om att hoppa ut därifrån.
But then as soon as I had that thought,
men så snart den tanken slog mig,
it was like this other thought kind of came behind and boop, knocked that thought out.
Så var det som en tanke kom och slog den väck.
And the thought was, hang on, because maybe this Jesus stuff is true.
Och det var, vänt nå lite, ta det lite med ro, för det kan ju vara att detta om Jesus är sant.
But then the moment I had that thought,
och I det ögonblicket jag tänkte den tanken,
I just started to curse myself.
Så begynte jag att förbanna mig själv.
And I said, look at you.
Jag sa, se på dig själv.
Your whole life you always believed religious people were weak people.
Hela livet ditt så har du tänkt negativt om religiösa människor.
Oh, they couldn't handle the hard knocks of life. They couldn't handle all the hard things that happened to them.
De som ikke kunne ta hand om de vanskeligheter de møtte og det de møtte I livet.
So they reach out and pray to some invisible bunny rabbit that they say their prayers to at bed at night and all that.
Så de må be sine bønner, knele ved senga om kvelden og be sine bønner I sin ynkelighet.
And wasn't that nice? They pray to their statue or they pray to this and it makes them feel better and on and on and on.
De ba til sine statuer og de ba om og om igjen.
You know, my whole life I always hated that and hated people who did that.
Så hele livet mitt så hadde jeg hatet det og hatet mennesker som gjorde det.
And suddenly now for the first time in my life I feel like I can't handle it.
Og nå for første gang I mitt liv får jeg følelsen av at dette makter ikke jeg.
And so now I'm going to reach out to some god or something to make me feel better as a, you know because it's too much for me.
Så nå må jeg rette min oppmerksomhet mot en høyere makt enn Gud eller noe for dette for mye for meg.
And I just stopped and I said, "No way."
Og jeg stoppet opp og sier ikke tale om.
I was too honest a seeker for truth to reach out and believe a lie. No matter how good the lie made me feel.
For jeg var en for ærlig sannhetssøker til å tro en løgn, hvor god den løgna enn måtte være.
I would rather live with no hope than a false hope.
Da ville jeg heller leve uten håp enn å ha et falskt håp.
And I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to believe.
Og jeg sa til meg selv, ikke tale om at jeg kommer til å tro.
You know, I would rather have been, I'd rather have jumped off the Eiffel Tower, been squashed dead like a grape, rather than believe a lie, no matter how good the lie made me feel.
Jeg vil heller kaste meg I døden fra Eiffeltårnet enn å tro en løgn.
And I remember I finally, I stopped.
Og jeg husker at jeg stoppet like, opp.
Like I shook a fist up in the sky.
Og jeg knyttet neven opp mot himmelen.
And I said, "Okay, God, if you're there, if you're there."
Og sa, "Okay, Gud. You've got to hear that.
You've got to reveal yourself to me, otherwise I will never believe ever."
Så må du åpenbare deg til meg, hvis ikke kommer jeg aldri til å tro.
And with that, I left Paris.
Og med det så dro jeg fra Paris.
And I ended up working my way and hitchhiking my way back down to Israel.
Og jeg hiket nedover mot Israel igjen.
And pretty much all that heaviness, all that depression, everything that was on me left.
Og alt det mismodet og depresjon som jeg hadde, det forlot meg etter hvert.
And I was back to my good old obnoxious self.
Og jeg var tilbake til mitt gode gamle jeg.
Which probably why I went back to my old kibbutz. The Jews wouldn't let me back on the kibbutz.
Og jeg kom tilbake til kibbutzen.
They wouldn't let me come back to the kibbutz.
Og de ville ikke slippe meg inn.
So I decided, fine, I'm going to go find another kibbutz because I want to get back and work on my novel. So all that matters is my novel.
En ny kibbutz, for jeg har lyst til å jobbe videre med bokprosjektet mitt.
And I told the believer, the Christians, what happened in Paris.
Så jeg fortalte de kristne hva som har skjedd I Paris.
I said, look, I'm open to believe.
Så jeg sa, hør her. Jeg åpen for å tro.
But your God has got to reveal himself to me.
Men guden deres må åpenbare seg for meg.
You know, just to tell me to go have faith, that's meaningless. I got to have faith in anything.
For hvis ikke, så troen meningsløs.
So I leave the kibbutz.
Så jeg drar fra kibbutzen.
And I go to the main kibbutz office in Tel Aviv to get assigned to another kibbutz.
Og jeg oppsøker et kibbutz hovedkontor I Tel Aviv. For å få tilladelse til å finne en annen kibbutz.
So I get to the main office.
Så jeg kommer til hovedkontoret.
Okay, and there's a woman working at the desk.
Og der en kvinne som jobber I resepsjon der.
And there's a guy sitting next to her.
Og en mann som sitter ved siden av henne.
You know, he's ahead of me and I'm just sitting there waiting my turn.
Og han foran meg og jeg sitter der og venter på min tur.
And I look over on the desk.
Og jeg ser over på disken eller på pulten.
And I see a sheet of paper.
Og jeg ser et ark, et stykke papir.
And it says Clifford Goldstein on the paper.
Og der står det Clifford Goldstein på arket.
So I interrupted the woman who's talking to the guy.
Så jeg griper inn og for å snakke med dama som snakker med mannen.
And I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, but how did you know I was coming?"
Så jeg sa, "Unnskyld meg, frue, men hvordan visste du at jeg skulle komme?"
And she just says, "I don't know, who are you?"
Jeg vet ikke, hvem du?
And I point to the paper and say, "Clifford Goldstein."
Så jeg peker på arket og sa, "Clifford Goldstein."
Well, the guy who was sitting there ahead of me, he jumps up and says, "No, that's mine. My name is Clifford Goldstein."
Og han som sitter foran meg, han hopper opp, "Hør her. Det mitt navn, det som Clifford Goldstein."
All right, now, all right, Clifford Goldstein is not the most common name in the world.
Og hør, okay. Altså, Clifford Goldstein, det ikke det mest vanlige navnet I verden.
But let's be fair, you know, I wasn't in Saudi Arabia, this was Israel, okay?
Men hør, dette var jo ikke Saudi-Arabia, dette var Israel.
And so we laughed a bit, and I said, "Cliff, where are you from?"
Så vi lo litt av det hele, og sa, "Cliff, hvor du fra?"
And he says, "Miami Beach."
Miami Beach.
You know, when I was a kid, my mother said we used to get these doctor bills that would come to the house for Clifford Goldstein that weren't my bills. They must have been his bills coming to the house.
Jeg husker min mor fortalte at vi pleide å få legeregninger til en Clifford Goldstein, men det var ikke mine legeregninger. Det må ha vært hans.
So now he was there to get assigned to a kibbutz.
Så han var der for å få bevis til å jobbe på en kibbutz.
And I said, "Cliff, have I got the kibbutz for you?"
Så jeg sa, "Cliff, jeg har en kibbutz til deg."
So you go to my old kibbutz and you tell him that your name is Clifford Goldstein and that you're from Miami Beach.
Så drar du til den kibbutzen jeg kommer fra og sier at du heter Clifford Goldstein.
So he goes to the kibbutz.
Så han drar til den kibbutzen.
Well, about 2 weeks go by.
Det går cirka 2 uker.
And I'm not getting it together, and I decide I'm going to come back to the States.
Og jeg får ikke tingene til å fungere, så jeg bestemmer meg for å dra tilbake til.
Dette var andre del av historien til Clifford Goldstein. Hele historien I 3 deler, og I neste program kan du få med deg den overraskende slutten. Husk at du kan bestille alle 3 delene av denne serien på en DVD. Da henvender du deg til kanal 7 på telefon 88 00 0077, eller bruk e-post, og adressen da post.tv-kanal7.no.